I'm happy to welcome you on the first international conference on fourth political theory. Now we can easily observe that global world order is in the decay. The globalism is collapsing, and we see that in United States, for example, now there is the real agony because the threat of President Trump, who is much more moderated in regards to the global liberal agenda, this threat is experienced by the globalists as something fatal, as a kind of something existential. And we see that globalists are trying to destroy the United States in order to promote their candidate, to save at any price, including at the price of United States themselves, to save the liberal world order. This and Trump has called that cancel culture. Very interesting. Cancel culture is new kind of modern or rather postmodern totalitarianism. Now, New York Times has declared the necessity to cancel Aristotle. So that is, if for example, we are dealing with the clear totalitarian phase of liberal ideology, it becomes more and more openly a kind of dictatorship, liberal dictatorship, because appeal to cancel history, to cancel Plato, to cancel Aristotle, to cancel all the cancel Middle Ages, the cancel modern authors and modern philosophies that don't coincide with the narrowing more and more criteria of radical, intolerant, totally intolerant liberalism. There are these are clear signs of the totalitarianism. So the Nazis, National Socialists, they demanded to cancel Jews. Soviet totalitarianism, socialist totalitarianism demanded to cancel dissidents. And now liberal world order, liberal ideology demands to cancel everything, almost everything, except BLM, Soros, LGBT plus, and some chosen groups of minorities, and at the price of prohibiting everybody else. So that is the agony. And what is an agony? We could easily say that an agony is the liberalism that I'm calling first political theory. First political theory has won over its rivals in the 20th century against second political theory, communism, and third political theory, fascism or national socialism. But all these three political theories represented and still represent the political modernity, the Western political modernity. So the agony of liberalism, of the first political theory, includes in itself the approaching end of the Western political modernity, because neither communism, second political theory, nor fascism could be regarded as real alternatives to this liberalism. If we, for example, oppose, if we choose to oppose to this liberal agonizing system, liberal against liberal totalitarianism, communism, or fascism, we are doomed because they are the products of the same Western political modernity. And they have the common basis with the liberalism, the basis in materialism and the atheism and the progressism and the purely materialistic approach to the human being, physiology. And that so we could not use the opportunity of the growing crisis fueled by impossibility of globalist structures to deal with coronavirus. It is very important because that is another sign of the collapse of liberalism. We are doomed if we choose to oppose falling down liberalism, communism, or fascism. And we could miss the opportunity of this agony because if we would cling to the alternatives of the past, belonging to the same family, to the same Western modern ideologies. So, first political theory that you are invited today to discuss, to develop, to question, to debate in our conference, it is invitation to use the window of opportunity, window of historical opportunity of the agony of the liberalism as the first political theory in order to overcome what is common to all forms of political modernity, in order to overcome the main, all this field, philosophical, metaphysical, political, ideological field of Western political modernity. And that is first political theory. To search, first political theory is invitation to search the alternative to these falling liberalism in decay that pretended to be the main and unique, the one and only political ideology from the Fukuyama's moment of end of history until now. I think these past 30 years were under this sign of the falling and losing possibility to create world order based on the liberalism as first political theory. So liberalism, after the end of the fascism and the communism in the 20th century, became the only political ideology that pretended to be a kind of universal language, something totally imposed with free market, liberal democracy, parliamentarianism, individualism, technology, iPhone culture, and LGBT plus ethics, all that was regarded as universal. And now this universality is ending. And first political theory is invitation to critique, to fight against these first political theory, neither from the point of the view of the second political theory, neither from the socialist or communist position, nor from nationalist, fascist, or national socialist positions. So that is invitation to overcome Western political modernity, fighting first of all against liberalism, because it still exists. Why we choose precisely liberalism to be representation and the symbol of absolute evil? Not because it's much worse than communism or fascism, but why one one reason, because it is here, it is there, it is still here, and still liberals pretend to organize a world under the rule of the liberal transnational elite. So liberalism is worse, not so much from purely theoretical point of view, worse than communism and fascism. Liberalism is worse than communism and fascism precisely because liberalism exists still, and communism and fascism, they belong to the to the past, to the past of the political history, and they are chimeras. They are just arrests, residues of the political history, and liberalism is still here. So we need to find, first of all, liberalism, and we need to bring to the end this lasting decay. We need to overcome liberalism. We need to finish with the liberalism, with open society, with human rights, with all the products of this Soros-style liberal system based on the individualism, on the materialism, on the progressism, and total alienation of the people and destruction of social links. So that is individualism. It is the last word of liberalism. So we need to finish with the concept of individualism. But we should not come to the past alternatives. We should not fall into the trap of the communism or fascism, and we need to imagine something radically different, not only in front of liberalism, but in front of all political modernity, Western political modernity taken together. So that is first political theory. That is what it is all about. We need to oppose to liberalism not the alternatives of the past belonging to the same frame of the Western political modernity, but we need to oppose to the liberalism and fight liberalism from the position that that should be other than political modernity, Western political modernity itself. And that is that what that means. That means if we identify our main enemy that is represented today by liberalism, by open society, by Soros funded group of liberal terrorists. They could be regarded as leftists, far left fascism, as Trump has call them, or they could be different because liberals, they are trying to use as well religious and ethnical group, for example, fighting Islam as a religious sacred tradition. They are using some Muslims in order to destroy European identity. So fighting against all kind of national identity, the globalists, they use sometime some ethnical identity of Uyghurs or, for example, Ukrainians in order to destabilize the alternative poles that don't belong to their vision of unipolar global liberal world. So they are very cynic in that sense. They hypocrites. They could use something they criticize as well if they need. They have double morality. But the main idea to fight against liberalism, it is to fight against all Western political modernity. That is the enemy. So we have liberalism, but behind the liberalism, we have all the Western political modernity. That fourth political theory invites everybody to fight. enemy has an absolute importance. If we call the enemy by the name of modern Western political ideologies or Western political modernity, we are on the right path, because we don't invite the people to fight against the West. Not at all. Not at all. Not the West is not enemy. We don't invite people to fight against the modernity as such, as for example contemporary state of affairs in some societies, because we have different societies and different civilizations that exist in modern world and don't belong to the modernity. We could belong to the actual modernity, live in modern world outside of the Western political modernity. That is very important. So we are challenging, we are not the West, neither West nor modernity. We are challenging the Western modernity. And that is a kind of form based on the anti-Christian, anti-spiritual, anti-traditional, anti-sacred turn in Western history that coincided not by the chance with the colonialism, the beginning of the Enlightenment, and so on. So this modern era of the Western scientific materialist colonialist period of the Western history, that is the evil, that is the problem. If we identify the enemy, the main enemy, as such as Western political modernity, Western modernity in general, philosophical, scientific way, in geopolitical, in any senses, economical, because that coincided not by the chance as well with capitalism, because the capitalism, materialism, atheism, colonialism, they are slavery, introduction after the thousands of years of non-existence of the slavery in the Western Christian culture. The slavery was reintroduced by the Western political modernity. So it seems sometimes that slavery in colonial time in America, in Africa, was continuation, something, a phenomenon that was continuation of the ancient tradition of the pre-modern West. Not at all. That was completely new institution, modern institution. Modern slavery is the part of the political, so-called democratic liberal modernity. And the people fighting against colonialism should understand that very well, that the people fighting colonialism, they are fighting political modernity, Western political modernity, and not, for example, traditional, everlasting Western hegemony. Hegemony is one thing, the new concept of slavery based on the racist and biological and concept, basing on the progress, because there was no reasonable explanation of the slavery, or to use black slaves or colored people as the slaves, outside of the progress. So there is, because they are underdeveloped society, and that was the reason to transform them into the labor power, into the slaves. That was completely new concept of slavery, basing on the measure of the progress. Progressism was the main moving power behind the slavery. So in order to liberate the consequences of the slavery or colonialism, we need to destroy Western political modernity. That is the only way. If we wrongly project the slavery outside in the history, in the Western history, outside of the Western political, so bourgeois capitalist modernity, we will be led to the wrong conclusions. It was all the phenomenon created and explained and funded by the Western political modernity. So we could not fight against the consequences of the colonialism or against the slavery without attacking and putting under question precisely this Western political modernity. How to get out of this epistemological field of the Western political modernity? We could, if we still have in front of us this name, Western political modernity, we already have solution. For example, in order to avoid, in order to get out of these limits, we could invite you to go beyond the West. So, welcome to the East, welcome to the non-Western civilization, welcome to the Islam, welcome to India, welcome to Chinese great ancient civilization, welcome to the Africa, welcome to ancient form of archaic societies. All these forms of non-Western civilizations could be our example to follow. We should consider the Western history as only one branch of the history of humanity. And if we, for example, if we reject pretensions of the West, of the Westerners on their universalism, we could rediscover the value of Chinese political ideas, of Islamic political ideas, of Orthodox, Christian Orthodox, but Eastern, not Western form of Christianity as the completely different form of political thought. We could rediscover Indian tradition. We could rediscover archaic people, not judging them from the point of view of progress, of technological development. The people in all form, living in all kind of societies, are still human, and maybe more human than our technological civilization. We should rediscover the multiplicity of the kind of cultures and society, and we should accept them, accept the most archaic people, most archaic society, tribe, living outside of the so-called civilization, as the example to follow, maybe, to discover, to study, to try the example or something that we need first of all, understand and not judge or try to bring to the criteria of Western political modernity. So we are rediscovering every kind of civilization outside of the West. And that is great because we don't fall in the void. We have this immense amount of the political thought, of the cultural thought, of philosophy, of religion outside of the West. And we could take that as the source of inspiration for the creation of something new. Outside of the West, we could propose something non-Western, taken as a star, a guiding star for false political theory. Obviously, we could not arrive to some new kind of universalism, and we shouldn't. We don't need that. We need to open the perspectives to each civilization, each culture, to create its own political future outside of something that is imposed as inevitable, as a destiny from the colonial Western modernity. So that, first of all, invitation is geographical. Outside of the West, we should recognize the value of political thought outside of the West. Russian Eurasianists, for example, have remarked that universal history of law by Kelsen, by Austrian philosopher Kelsen, is dedicated totally to the Roman law, but the name is universal law, and to all the other legal system outside of the West are dedicated somehow some pages, few pages, and all the books is about Roman law. That doesn't mean that Roman law is evil, but the Eurasianists, Count Trubetskoy, wanted to stress that it's only one system of the law, Roman law. There are non-Roman law outside of the Western civilization, and that is great. And that could be taken. There is Islamic law, there is Chinese law, Confucianist tradition, there is Indian law. There are some kind of archaic system of legality and legitimacy, and all that we need to take in consideration. So all civilizations can inspire or take inspiration from their own political thought outside of the West. And that is the meaning of the fourth political theory. After the end of the liberalism that is approaching, we need to rehabilitate it, non-Western political system. It could, these systems could seem to Westerners as something terrible, not civil or something awful, but that isn't argument. So Westerner should be bothered by their own civilization as only one type of civilization among many other. And nobody could judge the other. Nobody. Neither Soros, nor Bill Gates, nor Hillary Clinton, nor Washington, nor Brussels, or Moscow, or Riyadh, or New Delhi, or Beijing. Nobody could judge the other. There is no universal criterion in political thought, and that is main principle of fourth political theory. If we consider alternative, the positive alternative, the positive meaning of post-liberal world order, we should recognize, following fourth political theory, that as the main law, that all civilizations can establish their political systems outside of some universal paradigm, above all, outside of the Western, modern Western political paradigm accepted or imposed as something universal. No democracy, liberalism, human rights, LGBT plus, robotization, progress, digitalization, and cyberspace are optional. All that are not universal value. There are no universal value except the value all kind of civilizations could agree upon in order to deal with them. So we will lack a real international order because we lack the full scale subjects of that could establish such a law. Now we are still in colonization. There is only one subject. Only one subject, modern Western, in actual conditions, there is liberal subject that tries to impose its own, his or her own values as something universal form of order over all the other. And that is radically wrong. We are fighting in the fourth political theory against precisely this pretension. West is the West. The West is not all. The West is the part of the all. The West is the part of the Westerners are part of humanity. They could attract, they could be considered repellent or horrible, that it could be rejected. The West can be accepted, can be rejected. That depends on the free decision of other civilizations. The West is one civilization among many. And that is the main point of fourth political theory, and that is why a non-Western political thought is so important. It should be rehabilitated totally. The real universal history of law should be equally distributed between the legal system of all existing civilization. The serious part about Confucianism, the serious part about Indian political thought, the great part about Islamic law, great part dedicated to the Byzantine law, great part to archaic system of law, very variable. So there are many, not only one archaic system of the law. Each tribe, archaic tribe, could create its own system. We should be very, very attentive to that. So and we can have a part and a book, Universal History of the Law, dedicated to Roman law. Great thing, Roman law. But one of the many forms of the law that we could reserve the place in the book manual on political ideology as well to modern Western political thought. But that should be part, small part of the political thought of humanity. So we need to restore or insist on this redistribution of the system of values in the fourth political theory. That is one path to get out from Western political modernity, to recognize a full-scale dignity of non-Western political thought. That is very concrete. In each civilization, we could find easily, immediately, the huge amount of political treaties, ideas, school, and we are totally ignorant, dealing with open society and its enemy of Karl Popper or Hayek or something like that, as or Karl Marx, including as the some universal thinkers and systems. Yes, they're interesting, maybe less interesting, but comparing with Confucianism, comparing with Indian political thought, comparing with Islamic political thought, the liberalism, Marxism, including Western nationalism, are very poor. They are just a possible forms of political thought, or the small proportion, very arrogant proportion of the humanity, but just a small part and not the whole. And that is extremely important. To restore the dignity of all non-Western political philosophies, including African, including Indian and Latin in Americas, including great and developed civilization, as well as the small archaic society of Oceania. So we need to accept humanity as humanity, not the West and the rest. We should reverse the position. There is the rest is the name of the humanity, and the West is the name of disease on the body of the humanity. The rest is the center, not the West. I'm dealing with the Toynbee's concept taken by Samuel Huntington in his Clash of Civilization book. So the West and the rest. And now we are living in the system where the modern West is the unique pole, it is unipolarity, and pretends to establish the rule for the rest. We need to organize the global geopolitical human revolution against that. We should evenly distribute the status of the subject to the part of the rest. And the West is the part of the rest, small part of the rest. We should not punish the West. We should put in its normal, historical, organic borders, nothing else. So you are Western, okay, but you are not universal. You strongly believe in human rights, LGBT+. It's up to you. It's your decision, not mine. It's not necessary. If we prohibit gay marriages or gay pride, that is absolutely our own right. That is highest decision we could take. Or we could let it happen. That nothing is universally condemned or justified. Everything depends on the balance of the decision of each civilization. But in order to establish the world order on this principle, we need to reject the claim of the Western political modernity to establish universal rule. So non-Western societies should be put over the Western consensus. We need to destroy Western consensus. There is no such thing as Western consensus. There is hegemony, there is colonization, and there is occupation. There is Western liberal imperialism. We should fight against this Western hegemony and Western imperialism all on the surface of the earth. In every point, people who defend, who promote that, should be attacked by the civilizations in rise. The second point, very important, we shouldn't blame the West. We should blame modern Western, modern West. And that is totally different, because not only the world and the peoples of the world are colonized and exploited by the Western modernity. The identity of the Western culture, of the Western civilization, of the Western society is well hijacked by the modernity. And now, with this flourishment of the cancel culture, we see how it's functioning. How it is functioning? Because now they trying, the modern day liberals, they try to cancel the very principles of the Western identity. Cancel Aristotle, cancel Plato, cancel Hegel, cancel Nietzsche, cancel Heidegger, demonizing everything in great Western thought and Western culture. Everything that doesn't fit into the narrowing limits of these intolerant, radically intolerant liberal, left liberal ideology. Everything is judged as fascism, as something unacceptable. So the modern West destroys more and more the principles of the West, pre-modern West. So I think we need to liberate the West. Not only liberate the rest from the West, but at the same time, we need to call to the liberation of the West from the modernity. Because the modernity tries to cancel the West, the origins, the sources of the Western identity. So now it is quite open. So everybody is colonized by the Western political modernity, and not only non-Western cultures and civilizations. The West itself is colonized by the modernity. So we need to liberate the West. We need liberate Plato, Aristotle, Greco-Roman antiquity. We need restore the dignity of the Christian pre-modern societies, political thought, cultural values, philosophies, metaphysical. We need restore the heritage of the pre-modern West that is on the way to be cancelled, totally cancelled by a new purge of the liberalism. So we should be united in the war and the global revolution against Western political modernity. But we should understand it is not the fight against the West. It is the fight against the hegemony of the modernity. And the modernity is anti-West. It is not the West. It is deviation of the Western history. It is cut. It is break from the organic history of the Middle Ages, based on the total misunderstanding of its own self. So, the modern West is modernity. Western modernity is disease. It is Western disease, but it kills first of all the West itself. So we need to help the West to liberate from the modernity. So we have the other direction. We need liberate Europe from the modernity. We need liberate United States from the liberalism. So we should support all kind of populist movement and tendency. They try to restore social justice and to liberate from these liberal political elites that promote more and more modernization, more and more liberalism, more and more suicide. Because now the Western education, the Western modern West, postmodern Western education, it is total destruction of any kind of Western values. So that is new barbarianism. Liberals, they don't bring the culture, they bring barbarity, because now LGBT plus, BLM and other feminist tendencies, this cancel culture, it is the kind of call to cancel all kind of culture. It is the genocide of the Western culture. And I think that is totally wrong, and we need to liberate Western societies from this anti-Western, but not Eastern. It is something as disease. It is not the the enemy, human enemy, that causes this disease. Disease is some change of the register of the existence. So modernity is not Western. It is disease. Modern disease that kills Western identity and not defenses. So we need to finish with capitalism, with Western modernity, with materialism, with modern science, with all kind of political and cultural and philosophical fruits of the modernity. And that is not nihilism, not at all, because after destruction of this modernity, we will be able to perceive the huge heritage of Greco-Roman culture that is cancelled now, or in the process to be radically cancelled. We will discover the roots of Western identity, the spiritual, religious roots, the philosophical roots, political roots, and not this kind of deviation and perversion that we are dealing through the political modernity. So not only the world should be decolonized, the West itself should be decolonized and restored in its real dignity as one great civilization among the other great civilizations. So it is not against the West. It is against liberalism, against globalism, and against political modernity, Western political modernity. So next point of the fourth political theory, it is invitation to go ahead. Not because we could take inspiration from the past, but we are living in the present. We should not return to the past exactly as it was. We need to make one step ahead, forward, not many steps backward. The past should inspire us as eternal example of platonic ideas. The past should be considered to be everlasting, always existing ontology, the being that should inspire us. But when we are dealing with the time, and modern time is the catastrophe. That is the time of decay. That is the time of the collapse. That is the time of the catastrophe, the final catastrophe. So we need to go further. We need to go forward. We need to go ahead. And in that sense, I think we could use somehow some methods of the postmodernity in order to deconstruct Western political modernity. In the postmodernism, there are two parts, two halves. First of all, there is very legitimate criticism of the violent and perverted part of the Western political modernity as totalitarianism. In that, we could agree with postmodern criticism. But there is the other half of the postmodernism. That is the continuation, moral continuation of the modernity, an agreement with its call for further liberation, egalitarianism, and some liberal moral. In that moral aspect, postmodernism is worse than modernity, much worse. But we need separate two parts of the postmodernism. We could accept and use the criticism, the construction process of the modernity, and put aside and reject moral solidarity with the modernity that is proper to the postmodernist. We need a kind of right postmodernism, something postmodernity seen viewed from the right, not from political or economical right, not by saying right. I use this word only in order to differentiate this understanding of the postmodernity from the left liberal use of postmodernity in order to destroy more and more the Western and global human identity. So, but we need to direct the deconstruction process against the Western modernity and Western political modernity without sharing the moral presumption about how is great as Guattari and Deleuze say how great is to be schizophrenic masses or anti-Oedipal society based on total destruction of all kind of prohibitions and so on. That is deviation. In that sense, we should reject this deviated part of the postmodernity, accepting and mastering the other, the construction part of postmodernity. So that is more or less about fourth political theory. And I think that now, in the situation of coronavirus as a plague, as a kind of eschatological sign, very important, as well as the symbol of total incapacity of the globalists to manage the problem like that, like epidemia. I think that that is clear the kind of total incapacity to solve the problem. That is the sign of the end of the globalization. So coronavirus and this lockdown, they have added to understand to many people how fragile is this globalist system. And when we are challenged by some serious threat, immediately we close the borders. So close the borders, that is short-term solution for anything. And maybe still living in partial lockdown, we could get from that very important thing. Openness of the border, or inexistence of the border, is not universal solution. Somehow it could be useful, somehow it could be harmful. So it is not universal solution. No solution is universal when we are dealing with liberal elites. So liberal elites trying to put on fire more and more oil in order to get fire down, it is suicide. And what is now in the United States of America, when the Democrats losing their legitimate struggle for the power against the Trump, they are trying to use civil war as argument in order to get to their result. That is suicide. That's politics of suicide. So I think that all liberals do today is suicide. So we should stop them. We should overcome them. No liberalism. Liberalism should be put aside. Liberalism, it's today name for the fascism. If we, for example, if we demonize in the past the fascism, now we shouldn't just use the term left liberal fascism or liberal fascism as Trump does, but we need to use the term liberal as the insult. If you are liberal, you are subhuman. You are less than human. You are a diseased creature. You are a pervert creature if you are liberal. And you are criminal because you are fueling something, civil war, and social injustice, occupation, colonization, deshumanization. So To be liberal should be considered to be criminal. Liberalism is a crime against humanity, more important than fascism or communism. So we need to put, but that doesn't mean that we should rehabilitate it, fascism and communism. No, they were totalitarian regimes. We should as well put aside, but they belong to the past, and liberalism is the real danger, real crime, real criminal system of world order that still exists. So it is not the same to be anti-fascist or anti-communist, because it is fight with the shadow of the past. But to be anti-liberal, that is real challenge. And there are them and us and them, and them are the liberals, and they are other, not only for us Russians, for Chinese, for Muslims, for European patriots. Them, liberals are other for Americans, for Latin Americans, for Africans, for everybody else, for Europeans. So they are alienated from their own society. They have no real legitimacy to rule because they are usurpators. They are exploiters of the people, and they are killers. To be liberal, it is the same as to be the killer. And I think that is precisely how fourth political theory understand the situation. So that is more or less the frame of the debates I would like to have with you on the first International Congress on Fourth Political Theory. The last thing that I would tell about is the necessity to act, to put these considerations, if you share them, if you agree with them, in some kind of practice. And I think that the most important and central practice is now in education. So first of all, we need to restore, because through education, liberals penetrate our society. They pervert our children. They destroy the very principles of the cultures and the countries. And they destroy and dissolve identities by their education. We should, the main struggle is, should be on the level of the university. So I think I suggest to use this lockdown, global lockdown, in order to promote online structure of alternative education in any senses, outside of the Western political modernity. Religious, Christian, Islamic, Hinduist, Buddhist, all kinds of non-modern Western approach to education. But I think that we need here on the level of education as well to make the difference between three types of the people we are addressing to. The small minority of the global population is inclined to follow philosophy, religious theology, and we should satisfy their demand to giving them the full picture of the spiritual culture we are going to lose with liberals. So we need to save this treasure of the of religious of traditional ancient or modern wisdom, and that is a kind of maybe of traditionalism approach. René Guénon, Mircea Eliade tried to save these spiritual heritage in order to preserve that. That is our mission, to satisfy the need of the thinking persons, philosophers of the world, giving them access to the real content of the spiritual tradition of different religions, different cultures. So I think we need to promote this traditionalist education, including metaphysics, theology, Middle Age tradition, as well non-Western system of thought, and all kind of philosophical tendency that belong formally to the modern West, but who are different from that. For example, German classical philosophy, starting with Fichte, Schelling, or Hegel, or Nietzsche, Heidegger, conservative revolution, traditionalism, Italian thought, artistic realm, less affected by the modern Western capitalist liberal principles. All that should be saved and should be transformed in something accessible to the people through all the world. And because, why it is so important? Because in the Western type of education, precisely these things are disappearing under our eyes. Today, education of the best high schools and universities of the West, they are no more classical. They are losing this this heritage, and they are more and more involved in this cancel culture. They try to cancel everything, to cancel from the education. So we need to restore that, and that is necessary. But using the Indian term, I think it is our fourth political theory project on the level of the Brahmans, of the philosophers, of the priests, of the people, of the sacerdotes. But it is a kind of a very special engagement of highly intellectual people. We should, they could not be masses. They are isolated individuals, and we need to pay to them attention. We need to satisfy their need, because otherwise they will be totally alienated from this access if the liberal system of education will progress. In that will affect not only Western universities, but as well the Eastern universities. They just imitate the Western pattern. But that is oriented toward Brahmins, intellectual people. But we need as well to make an educational call to political elite, to the fighters, to the kshatriyas, to the warriors. And they could not be satisfied only with knowledge. They should put the knowledge in the practice. So they should as well participate in the special kind of educational online, I suggest, program in order to create a kind of warrior knowledge, the knowledge how to fight against our enemy, and for that they demand special quality, and we should restore the values of these kind of people who are potential heroes. They are totally excluded from the post-modernity, from the liberalism. They don't exist anymore. So that is not by the chance that the political Western modernity came into the reality with destruction of the first two estates, the priests and noble aristocracies, the warriors. And that was the capitalism. The capitalism came in order to destroy these two kind of human personalities. And now we are coming to the last stage of eradication of Brahmins and Kshatriyas also through all the world. We need to help to the both, to the Brahmins and Kshatriya, to came to their own self and to fulfill their existential and metaphysical missions. So I think we need to create a kind of network for the modern Kshatriya in order to fight against liberalism, against a unipolar world order, against Western political modernity, but not between each other. That is very important. The fourth political theory invite all Kshatriyas not fight each other. Chinese, for example, Indians, Pakistanis, Shia, Sunni, Christian, Muslims, Africans against the white people, one nation against other nation. That all is the strategy of the liberals. They want divide et impera. They want divide and rule on our behalf. And when their remark, when they spot some warrior spirit ascending, appearing in the society, they try to manipulate it into orientate against the other potential rivals or competitors or enemies of the open society. We shouldn't fall in this trap either. We need to promote solidarity of all the kshatriyas of the world. First of all, we should finish with the globalism, and after that we could solve our mutual problem. But this common network of kshatriyas, of the warriors, of the heroes, is very important. We need to promote education and provide education for all this kshatriya, basing on the solidarity between the warrior type of the men, the real men and women, because these type is distributed evenly of type of kshatriya between among men and women. We should not depreciate, we should not to be arrogant in front of women. We should rehabilitate the traditional dignity of the women. And women today, in the political modernity, they are transformed in the good because capitalist materialist logic prevails. So we need liberate women to their own destiny that is linked maybe with the philosophical. It's rare case, but philosophy is rare. It is very special feature of the man, very rare. And as Plato said, that is rarely found in the man, but it is rarely found among the women, but it's still it is rare as such. So the men who are devoted totally to the philosophy or to metaphysics are rare, but the women who do the same as well are rare. That is not no problem, but they are. And I think we should restore the dignity of the women in this education and give this access to this kind of fourth political education to women on the equal conditions as to the man. The difference between the metaphysical structure of the soul is much more important than that gender difference. But proposing to create this Brahman kind of education open to the men and women worldwide, promoting this network of modern kshatriyas in order fighting against a modern world and not among each other, as well open to the women, that is the second level. But that is all that is only dedicated to the small minority of the people, because the Brahmans, the thinkers, the philosophers, intellectuals are rare, and warriors, the real heroes as well are rare. And what to do with the huge mass of population that as well is the victim of the liberals? What could we propose outside of this elitistic approach? I think that the main idea is to organize third level of education orientated to the absolute majority of the population, and it should be linked to the restoration of the traditional family and traditional way of living with agriculture. I think that peasantry is the answer, because that the peasantry, first of all, European peasantry was destroyed by capitalism. So the people who pretended to be third estate, bourgeois, they weren't in the reality the representatives of the real third estates of Indo-European tradition, because the third estate was precisely represented by the peasants, European peasantry, and that was the third function of Indo-European society, and not the traders. Traders were the parasites. They were intermediary between the higher classes of the society in this the huge ocean of the peasantry. So I think we need to restore to the system of agricultural societies based on small villages and self-sufficient. The coronavirus lockdown shows us how important it is to have access to the nourishure, to satisfy the simplest needs of the people, and in the future it will more and more important. So we need provide this new tendency, of return to the earth by the majority of the population, return to the agricultural practice, to exit from the town, from the cities. It's very important. We need to promote and help and support the exodus, the exit from the big cities, because these big cities are artificial construction of modern West. the big industrial cities should be destroyed. They should be abandoned by the population, coming to the real life on the earth, because only earth gives us real life and real access to the being. So I think that we need to create third kind of education of the new peasantry, maybe with internet, with the connection in each house, that could be a kind of link, Wi-Fi, and possibility to join our network for political theory. But it should be organized outside of the big cities, and on the basis on the traditional families, without these perverts from the big cities. We need to come to the earth. And that is not only the return to the past. It is the only way to save humanity from this real disease that is represented by posthumanism, by this new technology. They try to intervene in the human genes, to transform us, to mark us with some artificial substances in order to control, in order to cancel culture from our veins, from our souls. But we should fight against this globalization, and for the huge majority of population, first political theory proposes this return to the earth. That is return to the people, return to the origins, return to the sources. So I think that it could be a kind of movement of massive creation of agro-cooperation, agricultural communities, linked together through the world by the system and structure that could provide us this network of fourth political theory. And we need to educate new peasantry. We need to try to help them to restore to their native traditions, to their roots, to their ancestors, to their cultures, because agricultural life was full with symbolism, was sacred, with sacredness. And Mircea Eliade, a Romanian traditionalist, was representative of this very, very rich peasant sacredness. I think if, for example, René Guénon was representative of this Brahman type of man, of human being, Julio Sevala was a very characteristic, very symbolic figure of the Kshatriyas type, I think Mircea Eliade could be considered as traditionalist of the third function of Indo-European society, of the peasantry. So, but we could develop that during our debates. My idea is that we need to promote the people as the new subject of the political theory, and the people is always presupposes the relations to the earth, in the concrete and symbolic and the sacred sense. So Nietzsche's words, my brethren, stay loyal to the earth, should be taken in the consideration, because the earth for the people is the being, and not only just alienated substance to use for material needs. The earth is sacred, and we need, in this return to the earth from the cities, this abandon of the big cities should be returned to the being, should be existential and metaphysical move, and we need to help to this move to be done. That, I think, is the mission of the fourth political theory. I welcome you in this conference, and I from now on I would like to hear your opinions, your your point of view, your suggestions, your criticism. So it is, force political theory is nothing dogmatic. It is totally open, as my friend Jave Arnotsky says, it is just theoretizations. So theoretization, it is not so much theory as something accomplished, it's the process open to everybody to form the theory outside of the liberalism, outside of Western political modernity, with open ends. With open ends, because each kind of civilization, each society, each culture seeks something very, very special that has the sense only inside of it, not outside. Thank you very much for your attention, and now we are entering in our first International Congress of Fourth Political Theory.